RadioInfluence.com. You are in the trenches with former Buccaneers offensive lineman Ian Beckles on Radio Influence.
Hello, everybody. This is Ian Beckles. Happy Monday and welcome back to In the Trenches. We're going to have some fun today, and I'm going to focus on quarterbacks today. But before that, we have to get some business taken care of and talk about our title sponsor, Hess Spinal Centers. Being injured in an auto accident is stressful for you and your family, and don't stress. You can call Hess. Hess Spinal Centers, they provide the best medical care for you and your family when we're going through this tough time of any kind of car accident. It's all about treatment. It's about knowledge. They have 16 Bay Area locations, 1-800-618-HESS. Don't stress, call Hess, 1-800-618-HESS. Now, if you guys ever want to email me any football questions, it's ianbeckles@radioinfluence.com. I got a couple emails, and to break them down, basically, Greg DeCruz was talking about Gerald McCoy. And we talked about the conversation I had with Warren Sapp last week. Big, long conversation. People were enjoying a lot of the conversations that we talked about on the podcast last week. Listen, I'm not trying to get rid of anybody. Like, I'm not trying to get rid of Gerald McCoy. I'm not. I'm just trying to make sure everybody maybe sees what I see. And it's just one of those weird things that he's probably the most overblown athlete I've seen, to where people are telling me he's doing things that I don't see. And when I'm evaluating film and watching film, he does a lot of things that are very uncharacteristic of good football players. I just want him to get better. I don't want him to go away. He's still a good football player. You can win with Gerald McCoy. He can't be the leader of your defense. That is now Quan Alexander. But I am not looking to get rid of Gerald McCoy. And, you know, people wanting to get rid of him, he's fine as long as you have other people on the defense to kind of set the attitude, because his attitude is not really conducive to a badass defense. It just, we all know that. We've seen him for a while. This other question I had from the email asking why I left 620. I was there for 12 years and did a show with Ron. I enjoyed myself, learned a lot about radio. Really, it's come that came down to corporate America, and you know, iHeart's going through some tough situation with money. They just weren't giving anybody any raises, and I just thought it was time for me to move on because there was nowhere to go. So it was nothing personal. I'm still good with everybody over there at iHeart. Me and Ron are still good. I still listen every once in a while. It was just time for me to move on and kind of broaden my horizons. But definitely no hard feelings over there. So first and foremost, first of all, Chuck Knox just died at 86. So may he rest in peace. He's had a big to do about the NFL way back when, and I'm old enough to know that name. It's just 86. That's a pretty darn good life, though. So yeah, unfortunately, he is gone. For these you gamblers out there, I just got news that the Supreme Court removed the federal ban on sports gambling and betting. What that means is, you don't have to mess around with your bookie anymore. You might have, you know, being from Montreal, Canada, we literally can go to the corner store and bet on NFL football, bet on NHL, bet on baseball, just like you'd play lottery. You take a lottery ticket and you just put in the numbers, and that's how you bet on sports. Can you imagine how much money they're raising for that? And for us talking about not having enough money to give teachers raises, man, I mean, that's, it just makes a lot of sense, right? So the money that would have been gambled illegally is now going to be legal, which means we're going to make more money statewide. And it just makes a whole lot of sense, that's for sure. So today on In the Trenches, usually means the down linemen with their hands on the ground. But I'm going to focus on the quarterback situation. I would say quarterback is the most important position in sports. It's got the most responsibility, the most accountability. You can't fake that very long. Nobody's ever faked that position very long. you can kind of fake some other positions, kind of. You will get exposed, but if you're a quarterback and you don't get it, everybody's going to watch. Everybody sees it, and you have to have some thick skin. And that's what a lot of these quarterbacks in a lot of different situations are going to be put in their lap. You're going to have some of these young quarterbacks who are drafted by, you know, bad football teams. You're going to lose. That's just the way it goes. And are you going to be able to endure all the criticism and getting mocked on ESPN and all this? Are you tough enough to endure all that stuff? Not everybody is. You remember the name Ryan Leaf. You know, Ryan Leaf came in with Peyton Manning, Hall of Famer Peyton Manning. Not quite Hall of Famer Ryan Leaf, obviously, but their mentalities were just different. Like Ryan Leaf, after got drafted, went to Las Vegas with all his boys and partied it up. Peyton Manning, they said the first day, faxed him and he wanted the playbook. I mean, that's a big difference. And the results of their career, you know, speak for themselves. Ryan Leaf actually had a couple pretty good games really early in his career. First couple games, I think he played okay. And then he was a golden boy. He's in San Diego. He's a good-looking athlete. And then things started going downhill, and he wasn't mature enough to deal with it. You got to be mature to play quarterback in the NFL. You got to have really, really thick skin. So to me, a lot of the quarterbacks were picked later in the rounds. You know, when you look at a Ben Roethlisberger or an Aaron Rodgers or something like that, they weren't the top picks. They probably should have been, but they had more success than others because they didn't need that much from them. And you have to have a quarterback to win in the NFL. Although Jacksonville tried their darndest to do without one. You know, Blake Bortles, I mean, he's not it to me. I mean, they won despite Blake Bortles being below average last year. And when they talk about teams that won without quarterbacks, and I think this is unfair because I'm actually fans of both of these individuals. Everybody likes to bring up Trent Dilfer with Baltimore. And listen, to play a 16 or 17-week season, to win 11 or 12 games, then go through the playoffs and not make mistakes, that's a hard thing to do, regardless if you were the focal point of the team or not. And the other name is Brad Johnson. People are like, well, we won with Brad Johnson. Brad Johnson was a hell of a quarterback and tough as nails. So, you know, go back and watch the film. Brad Johnson was doing stuff that, you know, other quarterbacks weren't doing. And most of it was, you know, knowledge and getting rid of the ball at the right time and seeing his reads real quick, which a lot of these young quarterbacks are not able to do. So a lot of these quarterbacks are going to be thrust into situations where we don't know if they're ready. You know, going over some of these different teams, Baker Mayfield with the Browns, I don't get the pick. I mean, I could be wrong. I don't know. When you're the first pick overall in the draft, you have to start the first game. Tyrod Taylor's over there. Tyrod Taylor, you could win with him. Not the most consistent guy, but kind of got a bum deal a little bit. I know they benched him for that other kid. I can't think of his name right now, but he's god-awful. Nathan Peterman, who threw five picks in one half, which I didn't think was even possible. Tyrod Taylor, I mean, the problem is when you have a situation with a Baker Mayfield who's picked number one overall in the draft, if you have a Tyrod Taylor who's been in the league before, he's made mistakes, he's gone through the ringer, he's probably going to look better than Baker Mayfield during training camp. He just probably is. And it won't matter because Baker Mayfield is going to have to start. And then the coaches have to make a decision where, are we going to put this Baker Mayfield in and maybe, you know, scar him up a little bit? Because when you're pooping on yourself as a rookie at quarterback, you're getting slammed into the ground as well. He's not the biggest guy in the world. Sometimes I think it's better off if you let a young man sit and watch a little bit. There was a time in my career where I was injured and I was sitting and watching, and I became better as a player watching because the game kind of slowed down and it made more sense to me. Sometimes if you get a chance to sit down and watch somebody who knows what they're doing, knows how to prepare, you're in a better situation. Like, you know, people like Brett Favre and, you know, Aaron Rodgers and Steve Young, they got a chance to sit back, learn the game, go through it in practice, not have much, you know, pressure on their shoulders, and all of them had fantastic careers. But when you get thrown in there right away as a rookie on a bad football team, bad things could happen. Now, the Cardinals brought in that Josh Rosen kid. They also have Sam Bradford, who is, I mean, I don't know how Sam Bradford keeps on getting paid. I don't know. He's got paid by every team he goes to, he gets paid. He plays mediocre at best football. It's like he's made out of wet tissue paper. He doesn't even look right anymore. He's broken as an athlete. So Josh Rosen, that may be a situation where Sam Bradford keeps that seat warm for him. Because Sam Bradford, if you start Sam Bradford at the beginning of the season, the one thing I know it's not going to happen is he's going to be standing at the end of the season. That ain't going to happen. So maybe give this Josh Rosen kid, who has all the confidence in the world, almost maybe a little over cocky for a young kid, little time to sit back and watch. They also have Mike Glennon, who I still don't get it. I told everybody last year with Mike Glennon, when he got paid by the Chicago Bears, that's the worst pickup I've ever seen. I mean, nice kid, just below average at every single thing when it comes to being a quarterback. He's not even average at anything quarterbacking wise. I'm happy he went out and got paid, but I don't see it. I don't get it. Great backup guy, I'm sure. You know, he's probably as good as most backups, but he's not a starting quarterback. No way. I mean, it's just no way. Now, Kirk Cousins went out there and got paid. The amount of money these guys are making now is beautiful. You know, what's funny with the Vikings, you know, the Vikings won a lot of football games last year, and they traded a quarterback or let him go, and they brought Kirk Cousins in 3 years, $84 million. Completely guaranteed, which is a beautiful thing. Kirk Cousins can play football now. There's no doubt. When you put the film on in Washington, Kirk Cousins slings it. Probably didn't win as much as he would like, obviously, but that's just not all on the quarterback. He still has to establish himself as a winner. Now, the Vikings have a pretty good supporting cast defensively. They like to run the football. And they have a mentality. So I think Kirk Cousins is going to be a nice pick. Now, why they gave up on Case Keenan, I don't know. Last year, he was borderline MVP. He played so darn well. Seriously. You know, he got a two-year, $36 million contract. You know, he was 11-3 as a starter. Okay? 11-3 as a starter, and your team lets you go. So, you know, he's obviously going to be pissed off. It doesn't matter. You know, John Elway knows a little bit about quarterbacking. And, you know, the Broncos usually have won games from defense and running the football anyways. So we'll see how that whole thing worked out. Now, it seems like everybody's playing like musical quarterbacks this offseason. I think there's probably more changing quarterback-wise in this offseason than I've seen in a long time. You know, Alex Smith was going to Washington now. Alex Smith has to be the most underappreciated quarterback in all of football, for sure. Because the knock on him was, you know, he wins, but he's not very flashy. He continues to win no matter where he goes. He has great leadership skills. He's a great athlete. And last year, I think he had one of the highest quarterback ratings, you know, over 20-yard passes. So Alex Smith, he can play. And he just seems to be unwanted wherever he goes, regardless of him winning. He's just not, I guess he's not flashy enough, but statistically, he is pretty darn flashy. Now, Matt Ryan, who just signed a five-year, $150 million contract, 100 guaranteed. Matty Ice, I have asked for that to be removed because he is 4-6 in the playoffs. You can't lose a game that you're up 26 points in the Super Bowl and be called Matty Ice. So we'll call him Matt Ryan. They had to give him money. I mean, they got to give him money. Matt Ryan out in the, you know, the market's going to warrant a whole lot of money. And, you know, he is the Atlanta Falcons. You know, that's them. And you're going to win with Matt Ryan. I think he's schooled enough as a leader, as a quarterback, that you can say that the Falcons are going to be at least good. They got a whole situation going with Julio Jones, who doesn't seem too happy over there. So we'll see how that whole thing works out. I was talking about Blake Bortles earlier at how Jacksonville got almost, you know, to the dance despite Blake Bortles. When you watch Blake Bortles play, he's just a subpar quarterback. I mean, he doesn't make great decisions. He'll sprinkle in a gem. Every once in a while, Blake Bortles will sprinkle in a gem, and they'll say, you see, but, and then the next three games, he's, I mean, just same old Blake Bortles. So he deserves a chance to be the man. And when you want, when you almost got to the Super Bowl last year with that quarterback, you got to ride with him. So that's their guy. We'll see what happens. Now, with our situation here with Jameis, Jameis is in a crucial year for him, I think, for his mentality and really his early legacy, because he's done nothing but win in his whole career until he got to the NFL, and he's done nothing but lose here. You got to win, okay? For me, Jameis shows signs that he can be great. Now, in order for him to be great, this is the most important thing for me and Jameis Winston. There's little things like he needs to tone down the whole leadership thing. He needs to start making people around him better. I'm not sure he's that quarterback yet. But the most important thing for me and Jameis Winston is that he eliminates those three plays. Buccaneer fans, you know what I'm talking about. Like, Jameis could have a great game, throw for 380, and there'll be three plays in a game where you go, what the hell were you thinking about? He's so competitive that he makes really dumb decisions sometimes. And he needs to figure out a way to get rid of those three plays. If he gets rid of those three plays, I mean, statistically, he's up there with just about everybody. I mean, I still have confidence in Jameis Winston that he's the guy. Run the football a little bit more, too. Dirk Cutter, I think that will help his situation out. We still don't want Jameis Winston to be throwing the ball 40 times a game. I don't. That's just not really an equation for success. Now, the quarterback that's joined to Jameis Winston's hip is Marcus Mariota. And to the point of last year, I kept on saying that I'd rather Jameis. Marcus Mariota's taking his team to the playoffs now. He has a playoff appearance. Didn't win, but you got to say that he's got to step up on Jameis. Jameis hasn't figured that out yet. There's got to be a way to figure that out. And by any means necessary, the Bucs got to figure out a way to make the playoffs or at least be in the hunt in the last game. That's the only way they're going to save their jobs around here. And I mean everybody. If that doesn't happen and they go 5-11 or 6-10, they may clean the house. And I mean, they may clean everybody up. Now, in the division with Cam Newton, Cam Newton is an anomaly as an athlete, because when he took his team to the Super Bowl that year, I had questions whether he can do it physically. And he proved me wrong until he got to the Super Bowl. And then, like, I don't know if he ran out of gas or his body was beat down, but he didn't look like the same athlete. With Cam, it's about staying healthy. You know, when they're at their best is when it's 3rd-and-1 and Cam Newton turns into a running back. You know, when your quarterback is that big and that strong and has the ability to run on 3rd-down, it's really hard to stop. I mean, that gives you an extra blocker. So when he's at that situation, that's why it's the most important thing to get Cam to the playoffs healthy. Then he can act this way, because there may not be a tomorrow. So with Cam Newton, to me, it's all health. He's turned into a slinger now. He can beat you in the pocket, and he did that. Cam has grown up as a quarterback. He was a guy that made some dumb mistakes earlier, but he can sling that thing. And athletically, I don't think the NFL's ever seen as big an athlete play quarterback and have that type of skills. There's been very few. Michael Vick in a smaller way, but not too many like that. Now, Drew Brees is still alive. He's winding down his Hall of Fame career. Still very effective. You know, doesn't have the same arm strength that he's always had. But he's such a field general and a leader that Drew Brees is going to find ways to win as well. Kind of like Peyton Manning at the end of his career. You know, his skills were eroding, but he still kind of figured out ways to win. I think that's where Drew Brees is with, you know, his pedigree of winning, leadership. You can tell, you know, everybody's cool with him. You can tell the linemen are out there fighting for him. and the Saints always figure out a way. They were pretty good last year. They were pretty good. They kind of turned it around. I know they definitely improved defensively. Now, San Francisco, I thought bringing in Garoppolo last year was kind of crazy because, you know, if you far as your Garoppolo, you know, if he'd have played poorly in the last few games, he'd have lost a lot of money. It didn't work out that way. I mean, they love him in San Francisco. Good-looking young kid. Zero playoff experience. But what zero playoff experience gets you these days is $137 million contract. So good for him. That's the future over there. John Lynch took a chance going to New England, plucking him over there, and, you know, he took a chance. But then you got to franchise him, and then you got to figure out a way to sign him. They got that done. And I think he's a perfect fit. I want to say they won six straight games or something at the end of the season last year, and Garoppolo just hasn't lost as a starter. So we'll see how that all unfolds. We'll see if John Lynch puts, you know, talent around him, because that's obviously very important. Now, the Matthew Stafford, to me, is one of the weirder anomalies in football, to where he is 0-3 in the playoffs. He also makes $135 million. Everybody makes $130-something million, by the way. He's in his 10th year, okay? Matthew Stafford has Hall of Fame numbers, period. He's not going to make it to the Hall of Fame, but he has Hall of Fame numbers. 62% completion, 216 TDs and 118 interceptions, and almost 35,000 yards passing. Those are amazing numbers. I looked up Terry Bradshaw, 52% compared to 62%, 212 TDs and 210 interceptions, and he's a Hall of Famer. So I don't think Matthew Stafford goes, but if you just put his numbers up there, he's somebody that probably deserves to get in the Hall of Fame. He's got to win something first. He hasn't won a playoff game yet. Derek Carr, to me, young slinger, it's all about his health. I kind of would compare him to Jameis potential-wise. Got mad upside, but he's got to win. He got to win. Some of these young kids got to learn to win. And I'm not sure he's there yet. And I think he's still growing. Now, Andrew Luck is to a point now where I don't even know why we're really talking about him anymore. He may come back. I don't know. He was out all last season. But let's stop. Let's take that tag of greatness off of Andrew Luck, because he's not nearly durable enough to use the word greatness. He's had problems with shoulder. This is a pivotal year from him, because if he doesn't come back and do something, then people are going to stop talking about him. Because it's been a long time since Andrew Luck has been a good football player. That Jacoby Brissett last year had flashes of brilliance here and there, but I don't know if he is the future. But actually, he looked good at times. Now, talking about the future, this Jared Goff kid from the Rams, equipped with Todd Gurley in the backfield, might have the brightest future out of all the quarterbacks. And there was times last year where I watched the Rams play, and they look like the greatest show on turf again. So Jared Goff, if he keeps on progressing knowledge-wise, and Todd Gurley stays healthy, the Rams can be a team to reckon with this year. I think they're going to win a bunch of games. Now, Aaron Rodgers has two more years left in his contract. Whatever, they might rip that up and get it done. If Aaron Rodgers really bellyaches enough, they'll probably figure out a way to get that done. But then you got to watch out for a situation where you ask for all the monies and you turn out to be like Joe Flacco in Baltimore, where he's making so much money, there's not enough money to go around. You got lesser, you know, talent around you. Tom Brady always figured out a way to re-up, get some money up front. He was never the highest paid guy, but always well paid, and it was always money to go around, and that's what it's all about. It's all about winning. So Aaron Rodgers has got to make sure he doesn't take all the money and doesn't leave any out there. Now, Joe Flacco, other than his Super Bowl appearances, which is a big deal, obviously, he's so darn average. And he's not good enough to win a Super Bowl, but he's not bad enough to replace. Now, they bought that Lamar Jackson in from Louisville, and I guess Flacco's not really having it and doesn't want any part of him. I don't give a crap about that. It's not his job to bring this young kid up. But Flacco's probably getting towards the end, and maybe they need some new, you know, spirit over there in Baltimore. It just seemed to be very drab for the last little while. Now, the Jets got that Sam Darnold from USC, third overall pick. Another situation of a high pick going to a bad football team. You have to deal with failure. You're going to have to issue, you know, he had issues with turnovers in college. Josh McCown is his backup, which I think is a good teammate, a good backup. Very knowledgeable. If he's not ready, you can put Josh in there for a quick fix. You'll be all right. And it's going to be one of those things where he's such a big name, and that they sometimes you put that cat in before it's ready, before he's ready, and you see how it turns out. Now the Bills brought in Josh Allen, and it's one of those, when is it time? AJ McCarron is there, 4 starts for him. It was a playoff team from last year, which you know, they're going to fall on the shoulders of Shady McCoy. They had that hiccup where they put that Nathan Peterman in and benched Tyrod Taylor. Once again, 5 interceptions and a half. That should never happen. But, you know, whether it's Sam Darnold or Josh Allen, it's just one of the things where, you know, Josh McCown and A.J. McCarron are not the future of these teams. And you're going to figure out a way to put the future in there eventually, and usually sooner than later. And you just got to time it up right. Now, the Dallas Cowboys obviously are in good hands with Dak Prescott. You have extra pressure of being America's team. You got Zeke Elliott behind you, but expectations are so damn high in Dallas all the time. Like, regardless what Dallas looked like the year before, the expectations of them are way high, and the pressure is way high to be a Dallas Cowboy quarterback. But then, you know, the endorsements come and a little extra money comes as well. Now, Ben Roethlisberger, probably getting towards the end of his rope. They brought in Mason Rudolph in from Oklahoma State in the 3rd round. And Ben bitched about the pick, which was weird, a little off-putting, but he said, oh, we could have got a good receiver in that pick, and, you know, I don't know. You know, Ben has always been a little curmudgeonly, a little bit, and they're trying to get ready for life after Ben, because, you know, Ben gets beat up. Ben is quite the competitor, doesn't go down real easy, so Ben gets beat up. So maybe this Mason Rudolph will have a couple of years to sit back and watch Ben take care of his business, and, you know, maybe spot start every once in a while when Ben gets kind of roughed up, and we'll see how he progresses. Now, the Patriots with Tom Brady, greatest of all time, period. You know, he says he's going to play till 45. He's still the best. I mean, definitely the greatest of all time, and maybe the best quarterback in the game right now at 40, and that's crazy. To be 40 years old and still be that guy, regardless who receivers are for you, regardless of the situation, he's always figure out ways to win. Not only probably one of the best quarterbacks of all time, probably one of the best competitors of all time. I'll put him along with Jordan and LeBron and Jim Brown, people like that. So, amazing competitor, and loves to win, which is really important. Now, Ryan Tannehill over with the Dolphins, he's just average. Like I was saying about Flacco, he's too good to get rid of, and you kind of say, man, we could do better. But Ryan Tannehill is average. You could win with Ryan Tannehill, but he's not going to be the reason why you win, I don't believe. You know, it's just the Dolphins have seemed to been in limbo for the last little while and not improving and, you know, not dying either. The Bengals with Andy Dalton, I guess he's the epitome of mediocrity, and I don't know about his leadership skills. I don't really hear his teammates talking about what great of a leader he is, and maybe I'm wrong, but it just seems it's been mediocre forever over there, and sometimes it looks pretty much bad. Last year's a time where Andy Dalton looked real bad. Russell Wilson over there with the Seahawks is in the midst of a Hall of Fame career. The kid wins. I think he is a quarterback that makes everybody better, and he can beat you in the pocket. He can beat you with improvising. He can beat you with his legs. Just is a tough deal for defenses. At times, you know, he puts stress on defenses like Michael Vick used to. Don't put him in that category because he's not Michael Vick. Nobody's Michael Vick. But Russell Wilson definitely has some shake in him where he puts a lot of stress on defenses. I would build my team around Russell Wilson if I could, that's for sure. Eli Manning last year got benched for Geno Smith, which, you know, Giants fans were up in arms. I wasn't, because Eli Manning, to me, is mailed it in. He has no dog left in him. I watched a couple of games where somebody just touched him and he fell. He's crumbling. He's had his time, borderline Hall of Fame career, but he has no dog left in him. I don't think he has any dog left in him. Nobody wanted to blame him because he's a good son. He's a Manning. But watching him, he was one of the main reasons why they were losing early in last year. So maybe it obviously looked bad. He was benched for Geno Smith, who sucks. But other than that, I just don't know if Eli Manning's ever going to win again. Now, another quarterback that people overlook is Philip Rivers, who's one of the better competitors I've seen. Last year, 28 touchdowns and 10 interceptions. His quarterback rating was almost 100. He's never the problem. I never see Philip Rivers as being the problem. He's about as consistent as can be. Looks like he got a little dick in him, but his competitive nature rubs off on the other players and is always competing. I love that. So we'll see about Philip Rivers, but he seems to be getting better with age, and not many do. Now, our Super Bowl champion Eagles, Carson Wentz and Nick Foles, on the same roster still. I didn't know if Nick Foles' agent was going to allow it to happen, because you'd only get that marketable for a little while. If Carson Wentz isn't healthy for training camp and they would have to start the season with Nick Foles, imagine Nick Foles goes out there and plays well in the first two games. You're going to take him out after he wins the Super Bowl? That's crazy. I want to see how that whole thing unfolds. I think eventually, if Carson Wentz is ready to go, Foles will end up somewhere else because somebody's going to need a quarterback. Now, last year, the Houston Texans picked up Deshaun Watson, and I was listening to the press who half of them had him in the Hall of Fame after his first few games. He gets injured in practice. Boom, his knee's out. Now you have to wonder about his future. You know, don't put people in the Hall of Fame early, people. Everybody can play four good games. Play 16 good games. Or play four good years. Three, four good games is not going to put you in the Hall of Fame. Durability is the hardest thing in the NFL, and four good games ain't gonna do it. It's just not. Kansas City went with their young kid, Patrick Mahomes, who, you know, ousted Alex Smith, who's a winner. So they must see something in this Mahomes guy. You have to figure, you know, way back when Brett Favre was quarterback for the Green Bay Packers and Aaron Rodgers was throwing the ball in practice, you know he looked pretty because Aaron Rodgers throws a pretty ball. And they all knew that. And in order to finally give up on Brett Favre and go with Aaron Rodgers, you got to believe he looked pretty darn good in practice. Same thing with Steve Young. He got rid of Joe Montana. Steve Young took over for him. He had to have looked pretty darn good in practice. That's why, you know, getting rid of Alex Smith and going with this Patrick Mahomes kid, young kid, from what I hear, he could sling it. And he had a great situation where he can sit back and learn a little bit and, you know, watch somebody else make some mistakes, and hopefully don't make all those mistakes when you get in there. And the Bears with Mr. Mitch Trubisky, it's in his second year. To me, I thought he had regular growing pains as a rookie quarterback. That's kind of how you want to see a rookie quarterback look. Not so much getting worse, improving a little bit. Bears fans seem to like him. They don't have much choice. But I think Bear fans are optimistic about this kid. And he has to stay healthy. They seem to have done a good job in the offseason and bringing some talent around him. So I think Bear fans feel good about themselves. I don't know if this year is going to be the year because, you know, not that many quarterbacks excel in their second year. But I think down the way, they feel like this kid's going to be the savior, and hopefully they get back to the Super Bowl lore like they remember back in the day. But it's been a while since the Bears have been good, that's for sure. So I hope you guys enjoyed that. There's a lot of quarterbacks out there. There's not a lot of great ones, okay? Colin Kaepernick's still out there, and doesn't look like he's ever going to find a job. Oh, there's some rumors and murmurs that Seattle is still courting him a little bit. I would think the NFL would like to see him back in a uniform. Just to save face a little bit. I think it would be good, you know, for their brand. This is not good for their brand, having Colin Kaepernick out there, knowing very well he's definitely 100% one of the top 64 quarterbacks out there. If Mike Glennon has a job, Colin Kaepernick should have a job. That is for sure. If you guys want to email me, it's ianbeckles@radioinfluence.com. I also have another podcast, Flavor in Your Ear, that comes out on Friday. A little bit more pop culture, a little bit more politics. We dabble in a little bit of sports, but you know, mostly pop stuff, and we keep it light. This has been In the Trenches. Once again, much love goes out to Hess Spinal Centers for being a key sponsor. 1-800-618-HESS. Don't stress. Call Hess. Everybody have a wonderful week, and please be safe. Peace out.
You have been In the Trenches with Ian Beckles on Radio Influence.
This is a Crush Performance Quick Fix on Radio Influence.
Today, we're looking at analytics and data in sport. It's changing the game. And there's no question that it's running deep. And we're just beginning. The Moneyball era, I guess baseball would be sort of the start of it all. And the Moneyball era sort of kicked it off and made it mainstream. Data and numbers have always been around in sport. The Olympic level, no question about it. But in the professional sporting world, I think the advancements in technology have really allowed us to push the numbers to a new level. Now, is it damaging the game? And are the numbers that we're using accurate in terms of telling us what's really going on? There's a lot of mixed opinions out there regarding exactly this, and we're going to try to get to the bottom of it today.
Crush Performance with the Crusher, Jeff Crichel, can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and RadioInfluence.com.